Hi there, folks. This is the Mail Right Real Estate Agent Show, episode 75. And we've got a great guest here. We've got Rick, the LinkedIn guy, because I can't pronounce his second name, but I'm going to let him do that in a second. Thomas, my beloved co-host, who is having some technical troubles, but he's reappeared and he will be joining me. But first of all, Rick, can you properly introduce yourself and then tell a little bit about what you're going to be talking about?
Sure. Thanks, Jonathan. First of all, the last name is Itzkowicz, and since nobody can pronounce it, I became known as Rick I, the LinkedIn guy. So that's kind of like around San Diego, especially, people know, oh, Rick I. That's how I'm known, because, again, the last name, it's a hard one to pronounce. And I'm here today primarily to talk about how people can use LinkedIn more effectively by having a different view of LinkedIn altogether. And in my opinion, LinkedIn should not be lumped in with social media, because it's a totally different animal. And I think if you start out with that and with a view to give people, I've taught hundreds of people a different approach on how to go about using LinkedIn that seems to be working for them. So.
Oh, that's great. And hopefully the sound, my co-host will be able to respond to this. And that's Thomas J. Nelson. Introduce yourself, Thomas.
Are you hearing me now?
Oh, yes. Clear as a bell.
All right. You got to love technology. Well, I'm Thomas J. Nelson. I'm a realtor here in San Diego, and you can find me on my website at thomasjnelsonrealtor.com. And I'm super excited about having Rick on the show today. Rick, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, sure. That's great. I'm going to start off, and then I'm going to let Thomas take over, Rick. So, to start off with, you got this tremendous beast, LinkedIn, and I probably use it a little bit more, but I than the average, mostly around communicating around new guests for the podcast, basically. But really, I probably have not really using it very effectively at all. So, can you start off with what do you see as the problem, and give some quick outline, or maybe some things you can do to rectify it?
I think the biggest problem is that people think of LinkedIn the way that they think of Facebook for business. So most people who've never heard about LinkedIn, when they're trying to describe it to others, they say, well, what's LinkedIn? They go, it's kind of like Facebook for business.
Yeah.
And I think that is where the problems start, because Facebook, which I have to admit, I'm not that active on Facebook. Facebook, it is social media. It's designed to share and connect. And even from a business, you can target people, you can sell. I mean, it's like a giant marketplace. And so people try to take that mindset into LinkedIn, and it just doesn't work. I mean, it's how can I explain it? It's like having two parties, and they're two very different parties. One of them is, you go out to the park with a few kegs of beer, your just very casual shorts, sandals, T-shirts. And the other one is a $1,000 plate formal affair. And if you dress the same to both, or if you act the same at both, it's probably going to not be very effective. I mean, you're going to be frowned upon, and you're not going to be very successful. So I think that trying to behave the same way, dress the same way, and do things is what the problem is. So in my view of LinkedIn, how I've been using LinkedIn for many, many, many years, and I've taught hundreds, if not thousands of people, is a different view. It starts out with a different view, and that is, if you're going to compare LinkedIn to anything, you're better off comparing it to, say, a chamber of commerce than you would be Facebook. Now, a chamber of commerce is probably about as 20th century as it gets when it comes to business. It's old school. In other words, it's face-to-face, it's belly-to-belly, it's relationship-oriented, it's conversation-oriented, it's about offering and giving before asking. Well, those are the same principles that you need to have on LinkedIn. And if you view it that way, and you view it as a way to, it's the shortest route take from the people that you know to the people that you want to meet. And once you actually get introduced or meet the people that you want to meet, there is so much you can gather and so many conversations that you can begin to have that that's where the value of LinkedIn comes in. It's about conversations. It's about relationships. It's not about selling. It's not about marketing. And that is where I think people go wrong, because the appeal of the one-to-many, the appeal of clicking of a button and being published and having hundreds, if not thousands, of people reading your posts, your blogs, watching your listings, etc., sounds fabulous. And then when that doesn't materialize, people get disappointed and say it doesn't work. It's a waste of time. I've been doing it for X or Y. It doesn't do anything.
Oh, I totally agree with you, Rick, because I think each social, you know, you don't like the term, say, LinkedIn. I don't totally agree with you there, but I do understand precisely where you're coming from, because I think you utilize that language just to really kind of wake up people. In my experience, they treat all social media as the same. They treat Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. What works on Facebook that will work on Twitter. It doesn't work. Right. They're all very, very different. So you made that statement. So how can you give some practical tips or examples of how you effectively build relationship with LinkedIn rather than just being a blaster, as I call it?
Well, it starts out by the way you build relationships anywhere else, and that is A, by having conversations, not monologues, and B, by being interested and interesting in others. And so it's about, like any relationship, if you have a business, I have a business, and if I'm only interested in, you know, what I'm going to get from you, what I'm going to have from you, you're not going to be very interested in having a relationship with me. So, but, you know, if I start a conversation with you in a manner that conveys to you that, A, I am interested in offering value, I'm interested in being of assistance to you, and I demonstrate that, I don't just say that, then the likelihood that a conversation might ensue increases. And it starts out with the first interaction that people have on LinkedIn, which for 99% of the people, 99% of the time, starts out with an invitation to connect or receiving an invitation to connect. And most people treat that as a monologue. They accept or they reject, and that's the end of it. In other words, okay, so you send me an invitation, I accept, we're done. That's a monologue. I treat that as this is an invitation to participate in a conversation. If I invite you to connect, if you invite me to connect, that's the first step, and do something I call put the ball in their court. So so anybody that sends me an invitation to connect, or anybody that I send to an invitation to connect, once I accept or they accept, that's the beginning or of a conversation. Now, the conversation may have started offline, where I met you offline, and I say, hey, let's connect on LinkedIn, or this is the first time we're interacting for whatever reason. I got an introduction, you invited me, I invited you, but then you are always going to receive a message from me right after we start, which is rare because most people don't do that. And the ones that do, the vast majority respond with a message like, hey, buy my products or services. Right. If you ever need anything, do this, which is premature in the relationship.
Right. Well, you know, Rick, I want to jump in and ask you, you know, on that note, LinkedIn, we're talking about 2 minutes social media here. LinkedIn has a lot of features that you can use to enhance those connections, like endorsements and congratulations on changes in jobs and things like that. Can you speak on those? I mean, are those effective? And if they're not, why not? Or what's the mistake people are making using those?
Well, first of all, a little bit of context. I have found in any kind of networking, this is not just LinkedIn, but this is if you do face-to-face, and I've been practicing and engaged in formal networking activities for probably 25 years, 24 years, to be exact. I remember that exactly because that's when my oldest daughter was born. So, and I find that there's – it starts out by you have to build credibility and trust, and you have to generate goodwill. Those are the two key currencies that you need to accumulate, both face-to-face networking and when you're doing it on LinkedIn. So imagine this. Some people go to networking events, okay, with a stack of cards in their hands, and they walk around, and as they meet somebody, hi, my name is Rick, and here's my card. Hi, my name is Rick. So they're practicing what I call the Las Vegas dealer type of networking. They're walking around dishing out their cards. And if you're like most people, and if you're listening to this podcast and you've been in any kind of networking, you probably have encountered people like that. In fact, I'll admit, I used to be a Las Vegas dealer. I didn't know any better.
Right.
And I was looking at networking like selling and like a numbers game. The more people that I talk to, the more people I give my card to, the more people that I know what I do, the more likelihood that someone is going to buy my product and service. And that was true. But it was just exhausting. And like most people, if you get one of those cards, you're probably going to throw it out on the way out the door.
Right.
Okay. Well, if you do the same thing digitally, and that's what some people do, they just connect, and they say, okay, here's my card. The result is exactly the same thing. So with the context of building trust, credibility, and generating goodwill, that is, if I help you out, the odds that you are going to want to do something in return for me increase. And that's a philosophy. You either agree with that or you don't.
Right.
It's
right.
not a direct relationship. It's not like I help you and now you're going to help me. It's not I give you a referral, you're going to give one to me. But you're very likely, and I'll give you an example of this, okay? A gentleman I recently met with, he is an attorney. And one of the things he does is he looks for, say, realtors to actually network, find out that realtors are good sources. They're going after the same clients.
Right.
And I asked him, well, how many realtors do you connect with? He says, well, I probably have 50, 70 realtors. So how do you do a reciprocal relationship? In other words, if they give you, you cannot possibly give referrals to all of them.
Right.
He says,
right.
No, that's true. I can't. It's not a one-to-one basis. But I'm always looking to see how I can be of help. And for example, he says, one of the things, and I'll tell you something that happened recently. One of my realtor connections and partners, I was talking to them, and he was mentioning that his son was having a birthday party coming up, 16 years old, and he didn't know what they were going to do, et cetera. And he said, you know, I own one of those giant projectors that you can actually show movies outdoors. And you know what? How about if I would make that available to you guys, you would show a movie outdoors. And they did that, and it was great. So he offered something of value to the realtor. Now, do you think the realtor might remember that?
Absolutely.
If the opportunity comes up to do it? Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a relationship. So that's goodwill. Okay. Now, the trust and credibility that you ask. So everybody loves, well, not everybody, but I'm going to say most people like their birthday. And most people like to be acknowledged for having a birthday. So if you actually have an opportunity to do that, because I know there are a few people where I pick up the phone and I call them, and maybe that's the only time of the year I call them on their birthday, but I know that it means something to them that I'm doing that.
Right.
Well, if you know that somebody's birthday is coming up and you do it that way, then you're building, even if it's only a drop of goodwill. And the same thing is if there's something new to congratulate people on, like an anniversary. Okay, now, there's one thing if you actually go out of your way and you actually send a message versus just click a button that says, happy birthday. That's, again, while there is maybe a little bit of value, most people go, yeah, really? It's kind of like, okay, it's like a like on Facebook. Okay, you're like, there's not that much value versus writing something that means that you took the effort. I believe that the value is when people perceive you're making an effort. Okay, so my view, and again, I'll reiterate, it's my view, it's my opinion, and you guys listening can disagree, and that's perfectly fine. That's why we have conversations, is not necessarily to agree. But my view is that if you put forth the effort and people believe you're putting forth the effort, that counts as something. If you're not, it gets devalued. which brings me to, so people think that, you know, and LinkedIn wants to promote endorsements as it enhances your credibility. I disagree. And here's why. Okay, because I've had people upset with me because I teach about LinkedIn. How can I got an endorsement from somebody I know, they're dead. How could they have endorsed me if they're dead? Well, obviously they couldn't have, and you know, there's, but or people that don't even know me, they're endorsing me.
Right.
So all of us, you probably have, and you probably have gotten messages, hey, I'll endorse you if you endorse me in return. And I've never met them.
Right.
That's the value. So from the point of view of credibility, I think endorsements are practically worthless. I'm not going to say totally, but for most intents and purposes, there's not a lot of value. But here's where there is a little bit of value in endorsements. And that is that what you do is you generate a little bit of goodwill, especially if you know the person. So if I click an endorsement and I happen to be one of the first three, I believe, and you get a message from LinkedIn saying, hey, Rick Itzkowich and three others or 50 others have endorsed you, you're going to see my name.
Right.
And you're going to see that I endorse you, and that creates a little bit of goodwill.
Right.
So that's my view on those things. There are definitely opportunities for you to start conversations. The same thing. If you receive an endorsement from someone, that gives you now the latitude to reach back out to the person if you want to thank them and start a conversation. Conversations lead to relationships, and relationships leads to business. That's my point of view.
Oh, it makes sense. You know, and another feature, of course, the main feature, if you will, is our profile on LinkedIn. And I know, you know, years ago I hired you to help me improve mine. What are the biggest mistakes you see people making with their profile on LinkedIn?
Well, there's too many to actually go over all of them.
Well, maybe the top three.
Let's start out with a few.
Yeah.
Right. The first one is to have a profile without a picture. Okay. And that, to me, I use this analogy and people laugh, but it's true. Having a profile on LinkedIn without a picture is like going to a networking event, a live networking event, with a paper bag over your head. I mean, it's just not good. I mean, again, we are there to build relationships. How can you build relationships? Okay, by hiding.
Right.
Okay, and when you're not having a picture, you are communicating whether you want to communicate this or not. It could be that you don't know how to upload a picture. That's why you don't have one, not that you're hiding.
Right.
But people won't think that. They think one of three things: you're either not current, you don't care, or you have something to hide. None of those are good things. So that would say that's one of the biggest ones. The other ones, in no particular order, but they treat their LinkedIn profile like a resume. I believe that your LinkedIn profile is more akin to a sales page than it is a resume. Okay. And a sales page, by being subtle. LinkedIn is all about subtlety. It's not about in your face selling. Nobody goes on LinkedIn to be sold anything.
That's
Nobody
a great
goes
point.
On LinkedIn to buy anything.
Right.
But at the end of the day, we are all selling ourselves, even if it's only to have somebody connect with us or start conversations with us. So a LinkedIn profile is an opportunity to showcase what you do best, who you do it for, who you can help, and how to connect with you. All of those things, I think, are very, very valuable. It can also tremendously enhance your credibility if you do a good job. Now, while I discounted endorsements for credibility, recommendations, on the other hand, greatly enhance someone's credibility on LinkedIn, because a couple of things. A, recommendations cannot be changed by the recipient. So if I give you a if you give me a recommendation, I cannot change a single word. You have to do it. Two, the recommendation can be traced right back to you. So somebody who wanted to verify that might reach out to you and says, did you really say that about Rick?
I see.
And you can actually have that. So there also, people took the time to actually write a recommendation. And I think, once again, the effort and the time means that there's more of a relationship than just a click of the mouse. So recommendations can greatly enhance your credibility, which is something that's very important. So not having recommendations. Other mistakes is not having anything in their summary. You have 2,000 characters to play with, including spaces. That's about 400 words. That's like getting a full page ad in the Wall Street Journal or your local newspaper. And if you don't fill it out, you're wasting very valuable real estate. So I don't know. I can go on and on, but there's a few. Headlines are another one. Where people miss an opportunity of using a headline as a way to capture someone's attention, imagination, or offer a benefit versus just a functional headline that says, you know, use your profile as a differentiator. Even though you're limited by what you can do, there are definitely ways that you can actually do it where I tell people are not going to hire you based on your LinkedIn profile, that they could very quickly disqualify from doing business with you based on your LinkedIn profile. So you might as well make sure that you're not disqualified.
Right. go ahead, Jonathan.
Just before that, Thomas, I think we should go for our break, folks, and then come back and find more fascinating insights about how to use LinkedIn from Rick. Let's be back in a minute, folks.
Are you struggling to master Facebook ads? Struggle no more. Check out Modern Mogul Marketing and put your real estate business on autopilot with Grant Wise. To receive a 20-minute business consultation, go to modernmogulmarketing.com and schedule a time. It's that easy. Grant Wise is a proud sponsor of the Real Estate Agent Podcast.
We're coming back, folks. We're talking with Rick about Facebook and how to do it right, which I'm very guilty of not doing correctly. So, Thomas, ask another question.
Sure. Well, let's clarify. We're talking about LinkedIn, not Facebook.
Oh, LinkedIn. Oh, dear. I've got Facebook on the brain, haven't I? Oh, my God.
Yeah, Jonathan, some more coffee.
Yeah, more tea, Thomas, more tea.
We started early this morning, folks. So, Rick, I want to ask you about a couple, I'll just call them theories that rumor about in LinkedIn. And that is, if you know, LinkedIn, you kind of get ranked by how many connections you have. And there's that holy grail of the 500 plus. And is it, in fact, a good or bad practice to accept an invitation to connect with everyone? Or do you look to only connect with high connection people, both in that they're connected to 500 plus and you and that person share a high number of similar connections? Or is that bogus?
Once again, there are probably different schools of thought, different opinions. And I get that question asked quite a bit.
Okay.
And like anything else that I'm telling you, these are my opinions. They don't make them fact. They don't make them right. They just mean they're my opinions. I've practiced what I'm sharing with people for many years with a lot of success, and many people that follow what it is that I share and teach have reported also the same success. So you can. So that's a long way to answer that. It's a personal choice. It's a personal preference. And a lot of it has to do with your philosophy and why you are on LinkedIn. And let me tell you a couple of stories. Again, I'll use myself as, you know, someone who started out when I first started on LinkedIn, like everybody else, who I had no idea, you know, why I was there. I had no idea how to use it.
But Rick, at least you knew you weren't on Facebook.
Yes, there was. Yeah, I don't know if there was. I don't think there was Facebook then or not.
I don't think so. If
there was. No. But I don't think there was Facebook when I first started on LinkedIn. Right. And like most people, it was a free account. I started because it was free. I would have never have paid for it because I didn't see any value nor using it. And once I decided I decided to start using LinkedIn because I was desperate. It was sometime around 2007. And I was at the time an owner of a company, and we had just lost three of our biggest clients, dropping our revenues 30 to 40%. This is when the economy was tanking, 2007, 2008.
All right.
And I was desperate, willing to try anything. And so I was this on LinkedIn. I was networking outside face to face, and I needed to do more and different. So I figured, why not this? And so that's how I started it. And I made all the mistakes that I now tell people, watch out for making these mistakes, because I didn't know any better. And I was gathering experience. But one of the things, so when I started, one of the things was I was not going to be one of those people that was going to go for numbers. Okay. The only people I'm going to connect with people on LinkedIn are the people that I can vouch for, that I can refer, that if somebody asks me for an introduction, I know them well, I vouch for them, and I can do it.
Sure.
All right. And in fact, I was very adamant about that. And I probably had like 35 people that I was connected to on LinkedIn. And I said, you know, this is not helping me that much. All right. So then I went to the other extreme because I had heard, you know, it's a numbers game. You know, I started doing that. So I started going with anyone and everything. So I went to other one and I figured, okay, well, I'm still not seeing a lot of value out of doing this. So nowadays, so what happens was the turning point for me, and I'll share this story on LinkedIn, came when I was at a weekly networking event that I was participating with at that time. And one of my colleagues, one of my members of the group, asked for an introduction to a particular individual whom I didn't know. But since I was starting to do LinkedIn, I said, I wonder if this person is on LinkedIn. So I went back to my office, I searched, and lo and behold, I found him. And I found that he was a second degree connection. Now, if you are new to the LinkedIn and you don't know what that means that I was connected to someone that this other person was connected to, and we had a connection in common or more. So I did a search, and LinkedIn tells you who you have in common. What's one of the great things that LinkedIn does? And it happened to be that we had two connections in common. And one of those connections was someone that I knew really well. So I sent the message to my connection, say, you know, I see that you're connected to this other guy. One of my colleagues would like to meet him. Would you mind facilitating an introduction? I got an email right back. It says, yes, Rick, I'll be happy to do that. The introduction was made, and that resulted in a huge sale for my colleague. And that's when the light bulb went on. It says, man, this is powerful.
Right.
Okay, so to me, that's when I realized what LinkedIn allows me to do is what I was doing offline, which I believe that to be a successful networker, you need to connect people. You need to become a connector.
Right.
That's the best way you're going to become successful is you become a connector. And LinkedIn allows you to be a connector on steroids.
Right.
And I just realized the more people I can connect people, the more value I'm now adding to my network.
Right.
And the more numbers that I have of people to be connected with people, the more I can do that. Now you can say, Rick, but what happens if you connect to total strangers? Where's the value in that? Like, you know, I asked for an introduction and you don't know them. How is that helpful? So to answer that, let me give you another story. And this happened to me, I don't know, several years ago. And one of my LinkedIn connections who I hadn't met in person, but we had met virtually and we had chatted. She sent a message. I received a message from her saying, my son happens to be in India. He's traveling through India and he ended up in an accident. He's in a hospital. Anyone knows someone near that city, wherever that was, would be most appreciated. Now, I'm a parent. I can only imagine, you know, doing what that might be. So I said, wow. Let me see if I can help. I did a search for who were my first degree connections that were from India. LinkedIn allows you to do that kind of search. And I sent them a message. Here's the situation. If anybody lives here, you know, go ahead and see if you can help. I received a message back from someone who is a perfect stranger. I didn't know who he was. I couldn't remember nothing. It said, hey, Rick, I happen to be I live about 45 minutes away from this. How can I help? By the way, 45-minute distance in India is nothing. All right? It's like next block. Because right. people travel long distances for that. I learned that when I went, and this will be part of the story. So I connected, you know, and says, okay, great, go ahead and do that. To make a long story short, this person was able to help Mary. Okay, so his name is Sandeep, was able to help Mary. What did I gain out of this?
The goodwill that you created.
A lot of goodwill. And right. this would have never happened had I not accepted invitation from someone that I didn't know.
Right.
Okay. Nice story. Feel good. The story doesn't end there. I now thank Sandeep for, hey, by the way, thank you very much for doing it. So now we're starting a relationship and a conversation.
Right.
A few years after that, I happened to be going, got hired to go speak in India. I was doing a conference speaking on LinkedIn. And I sent a message to Sandeep once again. I'm going to be Sandeep. I'm going to be in these three cities. I don't know how far you are. But if you happen to be there, I would love to meet you. Sandeep responds, Rick, I would be honored to meet you. And by the way, what are you doing? Oh, I'm going because I'm speaking at a couple of venues on, you know, how to use LinkedIn, etc. He goes, oh, wow. Would you like to have other venues to speak? Would you be interested in speaking at a couple of other venues?
Wow.
And I go, sure. I ended up speaking at two other venues he arranged, and that netted me about $20,000 to $30,000 that I would have never had.
Wow.
All right. So how did that happen?
Yeah.
Started out, it would have never happened had I not been connected. It would have never happened if I didn't go. Now, though, I went out of my way to help my colleague, my connection, Mary, who was, for all intents and purposes, a stranger, by right. sending an email, okay, that ended up helping them. And I equate this to this thing. If somebody asks you for a favor, let's say you are, I don't know, you're at Disneyland, all right, and somebody says, excuse me, sir, can you do me a favor? I go, sure, what do you need?
Right.
It says, would you mind taking a picture of me and my daughter? I would say, of course. Here's the phone. I'll take a picture. Now, imagine that same person say, excuse me, sir, would you do me a favor? Yes, what do you need? Says, well, I lost all my money. I need a ticket back to, you know, and I need $500. Could you loan me $500? I would probably run as far away from this person as I could.
Right.
What's the difference?
It's the size of the favor.
The size of the request, the nature right. of the relationship, et cetera. It's the right. same on LinkedIn. Now, another thing that I ask people when they ask me that question, it says, when you go to a networking event, would you ever speak to a stranger? Well, absolutely. And I go, why? It says, well, that's, you know, that's what you go to networking events. So it says, what are you doing on LinkedIn if it's not to network? And how is that different than somebody that you don't know asking you to connect?
Right.
A stranger who wants to start a conversation with you.
All right.
Now, you can disagree with me. Doesn't mean you need to do it, but that's a way of looking at it. There's definitely benefits to it. And then most of the downside that people say, well, they can spam your connections. They can imply. I go, that's not true. If you know how LinkedIn works, they could do that anyway with or without you. And right. by the way, just because someone sees you talking to that person, would they assume that you know them really well, that you're best friends, that you can do all of that? Not necessarily. They don't know the nature of the relationship.
Right.
Same thing on LinkedIn.
Well, so, I mean, you're speaking to the theory of you give it out in slices and it comes back in loaves. It's not always about what can I do for you that immediately returns on that favor to me. It's just about doing good for other people for the purpose of doing good for other people.
Yeah.
And that kind of brought up a question in my mind when you were talking about that, because there's another question that comes up a lot. And I'll just pin it on my industry. I'm a realtor in San Diego, and I get probably 5-10% of my requests to connect from other realtors.
Right.
And is there is there a kind of a rule of thumb that you follow? I mean, is there a plus or a minus to connecting with other realtors that are local versus apart? Do you discern between those two, or do you just say, you know, I'm on here to network and maybe they know someone I know and it's good to connect? Or, I mean, people look at it as a competition. I look at it as a connection, but what do you think?
Well, the competition is there regardless.
Exactly.
So whether you accept them or not, right, doesn't mean that you no longer have competition.
Right.
And once again, if you go to a networking event, would you talk to another realtor or run away from them?
I talk to them.
Well, even though they're the competition.
Right. Even though, because I might learn something from them.
How is that different on LinkedIn?
Exactly. Okay. Well, that's kind of the, I mean, I'm leaning towards, you know, obviously the point you're making, but, you know, I've had people, debate me on the, on
what's the downside in their mind?
You know, the one that comes up the most is, well, then they're connected to your connections and they can steal your connections.
You're connected to theirs and you steal theirs.
It's just bonkers, isn't it? It's bonkers.
I mean, it works both ways.
Right.
If you want to play that game, it works both ways.
Right. But there's the point. If you're even willing to play that game, I mean, I hope.
I understand, but I'll counter with that. So that's, then it's basically a zero sum game.
Right.
You're stealing each other connections. And by the yeah, way, yeah, okay, you know, just because someone is connected to you, they can steal your connection, then your relationship with your connection is not that strong.
Right. It, you know, and that's the same thing with even in a networking group. I mean, if
that's correct,
you know, if I lose a client to another realtor, they were never really my client or they wouldn't have left.
Yep, that's true.
Okay. Well, you know, one of the other things.
It's also linked, Thomas, to this fear of needing to appeal to every element of your market.
Right.
And there's just some people that just won't gel with you. And
that is correct.
Do you really, really want to work with those people? Unless you really, really have to. You're looking to pay your mortgage that month and you're going to, in fact, you probably, unless you're in desperate straits, you probably really wouldn't want to work with those people, Thomas,
right,
would you?
Right.
So that's the reality, isn't it?
Yeah, and really, desperate straits isn't the place for LinkedIn. I mean, that's a long-term relationship building location, if you will, and you know, people going for a quick fix are not going to be happy there.
I would like to ask Rick, how much time per week do you think you got to spend on this to really, when you've had that eureka moment, you know, you want to get serious about this and you're starting to really look at it. To start off with, how much time per week do you think you're going to have to spend?
In my digital course, when I train people, I explain to them that if they're willing to invest between 30 to 45 minutes per week.
Right. Wow. Per week.
10 minutes. Yeah, per week. About 10 to 15 minutes per day, 2 or 3 times a week. It's plenty, especially if you know what you're doing, you're strategic, and you're actually doing that with a purpose. It doesn't take that much time. I don't spend longer than that.
Okay. So I think it's bigger in people's minds, which kind of gives them paralysis.
Once again, they're looking at, oh, I need to post. I need to do this. I need to do all of these activities. I go, fact of the matter is, if you have an effective profile and you build a successful network and you generate some goodwill, that's 80 to 90% of what you need. Whatever activities you do are icing on the cake. And you don't have to post anything to get a lot of value out of LinkedIn.
Okay. Hey, Rick, I wanted to ask you too, because you do something that's very unique on LinkedIn. And so I want to just ask you about quote actions. What are quote actions? How did they come about and how do you use them?
Let's see. How they came about, I'm going to answer that first. Years ago, I'm talking about when I owned my company, I saw a trend, and that was that snail mail newsletters were getting more and more expensive to produce, and online newsletters, the viewership was going down while the cost was going up, and I wanted to find a way to stay connected to my prospects and clients. So I looked for something. What could I do to keep myself relevant, top of mind with people. And I looked for some things and I couldn't find anything. So this came up through some brainstorming at the time, the idea of quotes. I like quotes, always like quotes. And at the time, the company that I had was a personal growth, personal development company that specialized in sports and adventure travel with personal growth. And I would see people maybe twice a year, three times a year. And I wanted to do something. So I came up with the idea of the quotes and adding an action, because it was all about action, not just about philosophy. And I did a beta test with this and see how many people would like it. Again, the idea was to make people aware of their thinking for a few moments per week. That's what it was, in a way that would allow, would be inexpensive to produce. It would be easy to, for people to get, et cetera. And the original version of Quote Actions was the telephone. And it was designed as an interruption,
okay,
believe it or not. So what happened was I started it with a beta test of 20 people and say, see what you think. And after 2 weeks, I got back to them and says, what? He says, Rick, we like it. They would get a phone call from me. It was a recorded phone call, and I was using technology to be able to do that. Then one day I get a call from one of those people and say, hey, Rick, every day the phone rings at 8 a.m. It's you. And I'm thinking of you and your company. This is good. That's what you're supposed to do. He says, well, I want to do the same for my clients. Can we do that? And I said, well, wow, let me see. And the answer was, you couldn't. It was too cumbersome, too expensive, et cetera.
Yeah, it wasn't.
That's when the idea of maybe taking that concept and bringing it from a personal growth aspect to a marketing aspect. And that was to fulfill the need that most salespeople have, which is, how do you stay top of mind, relevant with people in between the times when they need you? See, when you sell a house, people probably won't buy another house from you for a while.
Right.
Okay. But you need to stay top of mind so that you can get referrals, et cetera.
Right.
So what do you do? So you need something that is elegant, that is simple, that is inexpensive to do that.
But Rick, I also know a software product that helps with that as well.
There are. There's many different things. So anyway, I'm giving you a little bit of background. So what happened was I found out that Quote Actions, what you can do, it's a great conversation starter. So remember I mentioned to you that every connection that I have is a conversation?
Right.
So every connection that I receive or every invitation I send, they accept, I send a message back, and I offer them a gift. And this is the gift of inspiration. That's how I position Quote Actions. I'd like to give you this gift. I believe in giving before receiving. We're just connected. I'm looking to build our relationship. Here's this. If you'd like to receive it, they're free. There's no thing. Click here to accept them. And it doesn't matter whether I accept it or not. The fact that I offered something is already good enough. And here's the key. Because it's totally unrelated to my business, it is perceived as a gift rather than a marketing. You see, the problem that people make is when they give a gift, like I'll give you a free appraisal, not that you would, but I'll give you a free, you know, value in your house. It's connected to your industry. It's not perceived as a gift. It's marketing.
Right. It's a step
one. And the
one.
Antenna, the marketing antenna goes up because this is totally unrelated to what you do. It becomes something you can offer as a gift and create goodwill. And the people who accept it, guess what? They now hear from me without me having to do anything, at the very least once a week and as frequently as 5 days a week if they choose to do so.
Oh, that sounds
a fabulous little tool to start and continue conversations.
That sounds great, Rick. Just to kind of wrap up, because I know you're really busy. I just got in, and maybe if Thomas got one other question as well, but I'd love to ask, you know, what's your advice about staying with the free account or going up to a paid account level?
I would say that for 80 to 90% of the people on LinkedIn, the free account is sufficient. Okay. Now, where it gets really valuable, in my opinion, the paid account is when the filters that you use for doing your searches are not available to you for free. And there are ones like when you slice and dice LinkedIn's data, if you want to get deeper and more narrow, like, for instance, how long has someone been in a company? You can find out those things out. You can find a few things in the searches that are only available in the paid accounts. That's when it becomes worth it if you need that. But for most people, the free account is sufficient.
Oh, thanks. Got one last question, Thomas?
By the way, on the previous question as well, if people want to see how I use Quote Actions, just have them send me an invitation to connect, and they'll see that. Just if you make reference that you listen to the podcast, and then you'll see how that works.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm just going to close out by saying, you know, Rick, first of all, I appreciate you being on. And, you know, Rick's been a longtime friend of mine and mentor and trainer. You know, I know Rick as not just Rick Guy, the LinkedIn guy, but an international speaker. He's a trainer. He's an author. I know he's an entrepreneur, and he's a master networker. So a lot of the questions I asked him, I kind of knew the answers to, but I wanted to share that knowledge base with our listeners because working with you over the last 11 plus years has made a huge difference in the way I approach my networking. And the underutilized tool that I had was LinkedIn now actually produces business for me too. In fact, it's the only online source outside of my blog that I can claim that I've actually made money from, and that's LinkedIn.
That's great.
So I want to thank you, Rick. And how can people get a hold of you? How can they reach you?
They can obviously on LinkedIn. Itzkowicz, which is the last name, Itzkowicz. I have a website, rickitzkowicz.com. It's like my name. And if you just put Rick ITZ on Google, you should get to me. If you cannot spell it out, you'll get to me. There's not that many Itzkowicz out there.
And we'll have your complete information on the show notes too for people great. That need help with the spelling.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to be here.
Oh, it was actually great, Rick. I really enjoyed the conversation, and I think you've given some real insights about the power of LinkedIn. I really enjoyed it.
Great. Thank you very much, guys. I'm going to run.
Bye.
Okay. Thanks, bye-bye. Rick. Bye-bye. Thank you.